For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go, got to catch my sugar. My plantation, my plantation, my plantation, 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 plantation.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the Arsenal edition. This is your host, Dean, and I am here with Gabby. What's going on, Gabby?
Down bad. Down horrendous.
Oh, man. Understandable, understandable. We come to you after Arsenal just lost a home game against Aston Villa 2-0. Aston Villa, coached by our former manager, Unai Emery, the man who managed the club when I was at my lowest ebb. When I was so down bad, as Gabby says, that I was not watching Arsenal games. Like the last seven games he managed, I did not watch. I wasn't having that shit. And he has now done the double over us this season with Aston Villa. He came to the Emirates, shat on the table, didn't clean up after himself, and he gets to go home happy. Gabby, we are not happy.
Go ahead. I'm only here so I don't get fucked. God forbid someone say I'm running from the grind.
You know what? You're better than the white boy and the other motherfucker. You know, like these assholes claiming excuse and shit. Mitch over there doing fucking white shit like he's Drake. Meanwhile, fucking coach, he's all like, oh, I want to go watch the game. Why didn't you leave before the end of the game like the rest of the fucking Arsenal fans? By the way, let's start with that shit. There's often a lot of chatter about foreign fans and day trippers, and you have the opportunity to watch Arsenal every week and you have a ticket to the games, but you only really hang out for the whole game when the team is winning. Is that what we're doing as Arsenal fans? Can we call them out? Those of us broke niggas, can we call them out now?
I'm going to say, I can't speak. I had never been to a game before. If I was there, I'm going to say the whole time so I can boo them. But that's just me.
I suppose it's better for them to leave early than for them to stay and boo. So I'll take that, but
I choose to be the villain.
Yeah, it's bad for the brand. It's bad for Arsenal as a club, as a fan base, as a team, for us to go down in like the 83rd minute or whenever Villa got that first goal, and for the stadium start emptying out because people can't be bothered to see if we can actually come back, or they can't be bothered to stay there and support the team. I don't want to judge people because it's their money. It's their right to spend it however they want to spend it. But I'm sorry, if you have the opportunity to support Arsenal in a period like this is the best it's ever been for most people that support Arsenal these days. I mean, some of us got to see the Invincibles.
Or me.
There you go. If you have the opportunity to be there, support the team. They need you. Like, you may underestimate how much support matters to them, but if you watch the interviews with like Arteta and the individual players, I know it sounds like a cliche, but that shit helps. Like, I played sports once upon a time. I like when
you don't even have to say that, because the way that they are, I mean, Arteta did it in the game today, but they always do the like pumping up the crowd thing because they're a little bit too quiet. Like, right. And you can see as soon as it gets a little bit anxious on the pitch, the stadium gets a little bit more quiet, a little bit more quiet, and then they start getting anxious, and then they start hearing the groans in the crowd, and it does affect the team. It just does. I don't know what to tell you guys.
And I feel like we've known this for a very long time. This has been an issue since the Wenger, I mean, since the stadium opened, basically. And I just find it somewhat embarrassing that people can't adjust their behavior. Like, I understand people can't really control how they feel in the moment. And people want to express how they feel, you know, and if people are anxious, they're going to act anxious. But I'm sorry, like, I watch other teams play in other stadiums, and there are a lot of other stadiums that are not like that. You know, like Liverpool had a very unpleasant day against Crystal Palace today before our game, and they lost 1-0 to a goal from Eber Echieze. And I thought Anfield, they did their part. You know, like, maybe the team didn't step up. They couldn't get that goal that they needed to tie the game or go on and win the game. But Anfield stepped up. Sure, they still lost, but you can't really accuse them of emptying out the stadium in like the 60th minute. And they considered that goal early, Gabby.
That's true. But I also think, like, I'll play devil's advocate just a little bit. I also think on the side of the fans, they, like, at least for Liverpool, you've seen your team win things recently. Like you know they can come back from this.
Right.
I don't think Arsenal, a lot of the Arsenal fans, especially in the stadiums, have seen them, like, overcome adversity. Like, it just, you once you go down, you just know. You just, like, have that feeling that they're just, this is done.
I mean, but I guess what we've done, I mean, we just mentioned how, like, sort of like the history of the Emirates Stadium has fans being a bit front-runnery, if you will. And I'm like, well, if we've never seen them win shit, maybe we should try doing something different. So they can
win.
Like, if they've never won shit, maybe they'll win shit if we act differently. And I say we, lumping myself in with the fans that can actually go to games, because it's just wild to me. Like, you can just see that whole, the part that the camera, like, pans on, you could just see the whole thing empty out after Bailey scored that goal. And I felt embarrassed. I just felt embarrassed. Coach was at the game and he was texting me. He said that was embarrassing. Like, they just started leaving.
I didn't even notice the fans leaving because I was screaming at the TV. So I'm going to be real with you. My head was hot.
All right, let's try to get our heads back off Mars and talk about what we actually saw today. The lineup was different. It was a little different from what we've been used to over the past couple of weeks. We don't have the statistics that the coaches have access to. We don't know why they make the decisions they make all the time, but we do have a lot of available players. And the unique thing was that Kai Havertz was no longer our striker. Gabi Jesus came in. Leandro Trossard came in as well. So we had a front five of Trossard, Havertz, Jesus, Odegaard, Saka. Then it was Declan Rice backing them up in midfield with Ben White, Saliba, Gabriel, and Zinchenko with David Raya as always. I saw the lineup. I liked it. What did you think?
I was surprised that he didn't just keep Kai at number nine. I'm going to be real with you. I thought if you were going to make any changes at all, you would, like, rest him. But I just don't think Kai's going to be rested for the rest of the season, obviously. So I was surprised by that. You putting Gabriel Jesus at nine instead of leaving him on the wing. I'm not surprised that Trossard came in, though, because he's been playing pretty well. And I think that Arteta wanted to reward that. Although it's kind of obvious that Trossard is probably better off the bench. But we'll come to that.
Fair enough. He actually, let's just talk about it now. It does seem as if he's better off the bench. I think last season, when he came in January and he had those, I think he had like 8 assists before the end of the year and maybe like 1 goal, I think. A lot of those, if I recall, at least the one game I can really remember is the game away to Fulham where he had a hat trick of assists. And he started that game. But short of that, I think a lot of his best moments have been off the bench. For instance, earlier this week against Bayern.
Yeah. It's so obvious that he's just he's like a super sub, genuinely. Like, he's just a super sub. I always feel like the pitch gets just a little bit electrified when Trossard comes off the bench. I'm like, oh yeah, we're about to start cooking. Like,
yeah, one might say, I don't know. I think I saw a stat. I can't confirm it at the moment. I don't have anything in front of me, but I think I saw a stat that he has the highest number of goals off the bench for any substitute around Europe or something like that this season.
I wouldn't be surprised
at all, because he's scored quite a few. I think his goals and assists combined this season have gotten somewhere around like 14, you know, so that's not a bad output for a guy that's not a guaranteed starter at a big club, you know, so he's done his job. Today, maybe not so much, because we'll get to it, but I think probably what we're going to call the turning moment of this game was a chance that fell to him. Yeah, he didn't convert the point-blank chance that he should have just put away that Emi Martinez saved. And I think from that point on, looking back, that's kind of when it, like, turned bad for us. But let's go back to the beginning of the game real quick. I thought we started pretty well. I think we were very bright. We had a lot of energy. I really loved Kai switching positions because I felt like a lot of our early running was done by him. He was one. He was given Dinia and I forget who they're. Paul Lopez. Paul, is it Lopez or Torres?
Torres.
He was giving those guys a problem with those runs from that half space. And Zinchenko was finding him over the top. I think maybe Declan Rice found him over the top once. And we started pretty well. I think there was a moment where Ollie Watkins had like a looped header that went over the bar and Raya just kind of perfunctory, like, dived and waved at it. But that was pretty much it for Aston Villa in the early running in the first half.
Yeah, they didn't really create a lot of chances. I mean, they did. I think I was looking at it at the like maybe the 20th minute or something, and like Villa had some like good possession, but they didn't really do anything with the possession. They were just keeping the ball. But when we had possession, we were like really getting at them and getting in the box. We were in the box a lot in that first half. And like you said, Kai was doing very well with those like runs into the box. He was just stretching the pitch very well.
Right.
I just thought that they were finding him well too, because that's what I complain about a lot. He does those runs in every game and they don't find him all the time, which annoys me. But they were hitting those balls early every time. And like, I think we did get a lot of offside calls in this game in general, but especially in that first half from him and Jesus. And I think Saka too, but like, yeah, we were trying. It was very clear that Arteta was trying to stretch the pitch. They were trying to test that high line.
Yeah. Yeah, you were right to mention the offside calls, because Villa, I believe, they definitely lead the Premier League in the number of offsides called on opposing teams. And I think they might lead all of Europe as well. It's just part of their system. They play that high line and they catch you in behind. And it's pretty frustrating because I'm pretty sure the players are aware of it. The manager has prepared them and lets them know that, yeah, these guys are going to try to play you offside. You need to be cognizant of that. And I think we got caught offside far too often. But before we start criticizing folks, I want to say like nothing came of it because we didn't score, but I thought Martin Odegaard was fantastic in the first half.
He was sensational. He was sensational. Somebody tweeted that Odegaard's passing is like Ozil-esque, and I retweeted it, but I was like, honestly, I think it might be even better. Like, because he just, he, okay, I'm, fair.
Not even
fair.
Close.
I'm gonna skip the bar. But like, he just like, I don't know. He just, that first half, I was just like, he's on one. Like, he's on, like, he's up for it today. He's one of the main people who's up for it today. And like a true captain's performance, he was pushing us forward. Genuine, not just with the ball, but like with his runs. He was everywhere. I blinked and he was on the other side of the field. Like, I was like his running doesn't stop at all. Right.
Yeah,
it was actually sensational.
Yeah, what I really enjoyed about the performance, at least in the first half, was just the physicality of it. I feel like there were a lot of moments where he like barged a Villa midfielder off the ball. Like he made Tielemans do the splits at one point. He knocked McGinn off the ball. He knocked Zaniolo off the ball, who had a really good game for Villa, by the way, Zaniolo did. He played a lot like their Havertz, but that's neither here nor there. But in the second half, things changed. We will get to that. Otherwise, I thought we were just very effervescent. It looked like a game that we were going to win at the beginning. Like, I think we created enough. I think we got into double figures on shots in the first half, a few notable ones.
With ease, for sure.
Yeah, we were. Like, some of those Kai runs ended up with him not necessarily, like, you know, being the most efficient with the shot or the final action, but we definitely got into dangerous moments. There was the Saka cut-in that he curled around the post that I remember. There was obviously the Trossard one that was probably the turning point in this game.
Pain.
Where Jesus crossed the ball and it was point blank and he hit it right at Martinez. It goes out. Great save by Martinez, give him credit. He got booed the whole game, and rightly so, because he won't shut the fuck up about Arsenal, even though he's been gone for what feels like forever at this point. I don't know, you're a forgiving person. You've told us to bring us Cesc back. Is this something we need to get over, this whole Martinez thing?
Listen, I don't have any feelings for Martinez. I don't really care. Although I will say, he did an interview, his post-match interview, he was like, I still have friends here. I still love this club. I've been here. I was here for like 10 years. And I was like, don't start that bullshit now that you won. I don't want to hear that shit. Right. I don't want to hear that shit. Goodbye. Yeah.
They never say that shit when they lose. He didn't say all that shit when we went to Villa last year and beat them 4-3. I didn't hear any of that shit about where his friends are and all that nonsense. I will say, despite the fact that I thought we played well in the first half, I think just generally in recent weeks, and I think it's sort of, I'm trying to think of where it started. I think Liverpool, when they came to the Emirates, were maybe the first to do it. Porto did it really well in the Champions League games we played against them. Bayern did it against us as well. But basically, coaches are coming, well, not necessarily just coming to the Emirates, but coaches are coming into games against Arsenal and preparing their team to essentially neuter our press. Because it's pretty well known at this point that Arsenal are the best out-of-possession team in the world and blah, 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 blah. But all these coaches are showing up, and I think they're all doing a very similar thing in that they basically take their center backs and spread them out wide. Then they have their goalkeeper, if he's any good with his feet, sort of function as sort of like a third center back. Then they have their fullbacks go further up the field, and they push their wingers even further up the field. And because of that structure, we can't quite press in the way that we want to. We're just as aggressive, but we're not as efficient because there were so many moments where
they always have an open man. They just always do.
It felt like our guys would get close to somebody, but that person always had an option, was always able to get out. You know, like there were times when I thought, yo, with just a little more oomph, Declan Rice steals the ball from Tielemans there, and it doesn't happen.
There's a time, I mean, we talked about it before the pod started, but they looked a little bit like they just couldn't get to the ball. This is just a little bit, but there were genuinely times where their Villa was passing in their own box, and we're almost in their own goal, and they're just passing around us. And I'm just like, I mean, there's not much more you can do there. There's just not. Like, you have one man on every man that's in the box, and they find someone available. They just do.
Yeah, and I have to say, like, you know, like, very often when Arsenal has lost games this season, it's not because I felt as if the other team was better or good, but I think Villa were good value for their victory today. I thought they were really good. I think even though we created a lot in the first half and looked very dangerous, I think it never quite got to a washing machine stage, if you will. You know, it never got to a point where we were just like on them and we had them pinned back for like long stretches. Like every time we had to build something, we sort of had to build from the back, then create something. Agreed. And they'd get the ball and they'd start something. Eventually we'd get the ball back, but they'd be in good position. You know, so they played really well. We never really got them off kilter. And it just feels as if they went in at halftime and Emery was like, guys, like, see, I told you we can hang with these guys. Let's just go get them in the second half.
They were calmer than we were, genuinely. Like, they had so much more composure in our house, which was very frustrating to watch. But, like, I just, like we said, they always find somebody, and they just knew that they just had to be patient. Right. They, like, knew they were going to get chances, and they definitely got chances, I'll tell you that.
And the first one I can recall, and probably the only one from the first half for them, was the Ollie Watkins chance, which was essentially the result of Gabriel running backwards again. Reminds me a lot of what happened against Bayern in the Champions League when he was running towards his own goal, has possession of the ball, and tries to play it up the field. And for some reason, like against Bayern, the pass just wasn't accurate and Kivior didn't really do enough to get it. Against Villa, the pass just hits Zinchenko on the back and bounces to Ollie Watkins. He runs in. It's basically a goal, but it doesn't go in.
Yeah. I will say the one against Bayern, that's on Gabriel. He like the Gabriel and Raya just miscommunication, and it just like his body didn't, he wasn't able to get the ball out to Kiwi. But this one, I'm sorry. Zinchenko had my mind like on Pluto because I was just like, one, why are you so close to him? Two, why are you not like in the space on the touchline so he can actually pass to you? You're so close that he has to like run back with the ball and turn around and try to kick it out, but like you're in the way of the kick. It was just a mess. I was just like, some composure, so like relax. And of course, as soon as we make the mistake, they're right down our throats. Right. And we were genuinely lucky not to go 1-0 down because that was a great shot by Ollie Watkins. Very unlucky not to score there.
I mean, it should have gone in and hit the inside of the post.
Inside of the post and came out.
Other side of the post. Like, Jesus Christ. I thought it was going in. You know, like in retrospect, I almost wish they had scored that goal because that probably would have woken Arsenal up and had us approach the second half with a little more urgency, which we didn't do. You mentioned Zinchenko. He's been a bit of a polarizing figure in the fan base. I know that, you know, defensively he can be somewhat weak, but, you know, he essentially revolutionized the way we played last season, and he's still very useful against Bayern. He came on and we're much better after he came on. But I've long shared the frustrations of many other fans. And for me, I don't necessarily care about the defensive deficiencies. It's like, listen, a player is a player. Like, they have their qualities for a reason. You can't expect Erling Haaland to dribble past five guys and score a goal. He's not going to do that ever. It's not part of his game. It will never be part of his game. Zinchenko is never going to be a great defender, even though he plays as a defender. My frustration with him is...
that's the part.
I know that's kind of crazy, but this is where we live in. But my frustration with Zinchenko is when he's on the ball. I think he affects the tempo of the game too much. It's like not, and I've made this complaint before, not every time is I'm going to touch it and caress it and try to find this killer pass. It's like, bro, sometimes
I the keep ball saying moves. This shit. He, when we genuinely, I don't know if like, I don't know if people were watching this like very closely, but I was because I was a Kiwi fan. So when Zinchenko got injured and we had to play Kiwi there and he wasn't playing well, and then we adjusted to him and we had Ben White invert, we like you could see how much quicker we move the ball. Not every day stand on it, and then like you have to make the very direct pass that like you lose the ball. Like, relax. If you're here to help us with possession and here to like get the tempo moving, like Georgie, then do that. But don't overcompensate, because you don't have the defensive like wherewithal to like, when we lose the ball, you can get back for that. Or you know where you're supposed to be. Like, because you'll be in the middle of midfield or on the right hand side, and that entire space will be open, and then they're on us again. Like, within a snap. Like, it irritates me so bad. And I try really hard to give Zinchenko like some leeway, because we, like you said, we know he's not the best defensively, and we already know that he was replaced. Like, he wouldn't be playing if Timber was available, and that's just a fact. But it just, if Kiwi hadn't made that mistake recently, or he hadn't been playing so much recently, I don't think he would have played this game. I'm gonna just be real with you. I think Kiwi would have just been playing like he's always been. If he didn't make that mistake against Byron, he's in there again. Yeah, like, it just irritates me bad. I watch him sometimes, and I'm just like, why? Why are you this way?
It's just too much. Like, again, the defensive errors don't really bother me, because I know to expect that. But for me, the way he plays on the ball sometimes, it just betrays a lack of, for lack of a better term here, intelligence about the game. It's like, because you are close to the game, you play a very bespoke and unique position in the game, and you don't realize that it seems like no one has ever told him that when you dally on the ball that long, all the spaces we're trying to access are closing up when you do that. Part of the reason why people got caught offside so often was because you wouldn't just play it quickly enough. You were dilly-dallying on the ball. You were taking an extra touch. You know, they make the run, then they got to make a second run because you haven't released the ball. And that's frustrating.
You see what this man has done? He's saying dilly-dallying on this pod now.
Streets is done, Gabby. Streets is done. We're saying dilly-dally now.
The head is on Pluto. Like,
yeah. I mean, ultimately, you know, I still think he's a valuable member of the squad. But I do. Today was, I'm not going to blame him for anything that went wrong. I think he certainly had his worst moment, if we're being completely honest, would be when he, in the second half, which we'll get to in a moment here.
Oh, you came back.
Yeah. It was from a corner. He goes to stop Tielemans, doesn't stop Tielemans, and the ball, he basically loses a tackle. And Tielemans ends up like hitting our post and bar from the same shot because Zinchenko wasn't intense enough in his tackle. But we'll get there. Don't get mad about it yet, Gab. Save that anger for later. How are you feeling at halftime?
Halftime, honestly, I was calm. I know people were like, there were many people panicking on the timeline, but I was calm because I was like, we're creating the chances. They just like genuinely just have to put it in the back of the net. That's it. It's not like we were like, it's not like the Porto game where we just weren't creating chances at all. That would frustrate me. That I would be like, we need to change something. There was really not that much that we need to change. You just guys need to be more clinical. It like, find margins. The touches need to be better. There's a moment in the first half where Saka, there's a great ball by Odegaard, like through the lines, and he gets in behind and he takes a touch before he tries to cross the ball and it hits the side netting. I'm just like, those are the fine margins. Don't take a touch. Just cross the ball. Hit it first time. Right. That's it. If we weren't creating chances, then I would be like, okay, we need to figure something out. But like, I was calm, and then the second half happened.
Yeah, I was pretty calm too. My friend Kale, I'm always texting with Kale during. Shout out Kale. I'm always texting with Kale during the games, and she had asked me. She was like, "I'm pretty sure you're going to say nothing, but do you want to change anything at the half?" And I was like, "Nope, don't want to change anything. I think we're good. This is probably short of Martinelli, you know, an informed Martinelli being on the field. This is probably my favorite lineup. It has Kai, it has Jesus, it has Odegaard, it has Saka. I'm happy." But then we came out and it just felt like Villa sustained their intensity and we did not, we just couldn't match it. Like, there were long stretches where we just couldn't get out. We couldn't find an out ball. Odegaard was so dominant in the first half. He was quiet. All he was doing clearances. Villa, it felt like Villa had like 20 corners in a row at one point. It was so crazy. And we can talk about all the, you know what? Now is the time for it to get mad at Zinchenko for letting Tielemans take that shot. Go ahead.
Oh, my time has come now. Yes. Zinchenko, let me think about how this happened. I think it was the corner, right? Like on the corner, we clear the ball. It drops to Zinchenko at the top of the box. And there is either, I think it was Saka who was available ahead of him. Get the ball out. Get the ball out so we can stretch the pitch and like move into their box. No. No, of course not. Mr. I'm here to help you guys with passing and holding possession loses the ball at the top of the box. And then Tielemans unleashes this absurd shot that hits the bar. I think it hits the crossbar and the actual post.
Yes.
And like came out. My head was on Plua. I was screaming at the TV, like, get this guy off the pitch. Get this guy off the pitch. Like, you just know defensively, like, he's the guy. He's the guy to the fuck up and do something stupid. Like, and I'm just, and you, and when it happened, when the ball dropped to him, and I was like, please just get it out. Just get it out. And when he didn't, I knew. I thought for sure they were going to score there. I genuinely thought for sure. We caught life when he did that. Like, oh my God, that guy makes my head hurt so bad. I almost ran through the TV and slapped the shit out of him myself.
It's fascinating because, I mean, I never played to an elite level. I never even played to half of an elite level, but there are certain basics about the game that I feel like every player should just have installed in them. You know, like, and Zinchenko just doesn't seem to get the concept of, hey, when my team is under the cosh and I get the ball in a dangerous area, if I can't find a pass, I need to boot it. Like, I think a good piece of advice for him from the coaches should be, listen, when you get the ball in the box at any point, just fucking boot it. If the other team has us pinned in, just boot it and we'll deal with the consequence of that later. Like, just get it out and we can push up the field that way. Because he just has this instinct. And, you know, people can't really fight their nature. You know, it's the story of the scorpion and the frog, you know, like the Haaland analogy I made a couple minutes ago. Like, certain players are just going to do certain shit. Zinchenko wants to touch the ball. Jesus wants to dribble. He wants to do jinky-me-jinky. You know, some players are just, you know, you'd be like, why didn't he shoot it there? Well, he should have shot it. That would have been the right thing to do, but that's not the kind of player he is. And it is what it is. You take the good with the bad with Zinchenko.
Listen, real shooters shoot, and Jesus ain't a real shooter. But that's neither here nor there.
Really a shooter like that. But ultimately, that's not what ended up costing us the game. I think there's an argument. And Mikel has been fantastic this year. As coach often says, Mikel has learned very quickly. You see him adjust between the home and away fixture with certain teams that we've played against this season. He doesn't make the same mistake twice. But something changed, and I don't think you saw anything because we talked before we got on the pod, but I don't think Villa changed anything tactical per se. They just, again, sustained their intensity, and we just dropped off by like a solid 40%. We just weren't there anymore. And
we looked lethargic.
Yeah. Like, when did the first subs happen? Let me take a look at this.
I think it was after the 60th.
After the 60, well, per usual, so we almost always do our subs.
Yeah, 67. It was a 67 minute.
So for me, given the way in that first 20 minutes of the second half, given how Villa was essentially on us, like maybe they weren't creating chance after chance, but it felt like they had more of the ball. We weren't creating anything. We weren't making them run backwards. So I'm just like, if that's been going on for 20 minutes, if that's going on for 10 minutes at home during a title race, I think you need to be a little more aggressive about the changes you make, and you need to make them sooner. You can't just be like, well, we make changes around the hour mark, so we'll just wait until we get to the hour mark and see what we can do about things.
Mikel has this very, 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 very bad habit of like thinking that the players can figure it out themselves. Sometimes they can't. Help them. Like, protect them. Get them off the pitch. Like, clearly we needed help in that first 15 minutes. In that first 10 minutes, you could tell. Right. Genuinely. I was like, when it was the 50th, 55th, almost the 60th minute, I was like, okay, I don't like what's going on here. Figure it out. We need subs now. We need subs now because they look like they're lost. Pinned in our own half. Can't get on the ball. Like you said, Odegaard was like not non-existent in that second half.
Yeah,
and I was just like,
his biggest moment was getting kicked in the chest.
Like, genuinely, I was just like, put Georgie on or something. I don't know. Like, do something, because this is like begging to be scored on. Like, we are right. begging to go right. down, and we did.
Yeah, it's like one of the metrics that we've been mostly dominant on this season in most of our games, with few exceptions, is field tilt, which is essentially the percentage of time you're in the other person, other team's half, if you will, in the opposition.
I just want
half.
To say for the record, yes. I fucking hate that. I fucking hate the field tilt stat. But go on.
And I haven't looked at the field tilt for this game, but I'm pretty sure it'd be very disappointing. I mean, there are games where when you look at the field tilt graph, it'll be like red for Arsenal the whole way through. And there's like a little bit where the other team like gets a couple chances, then it's all Arsenal for the, like, that second half would have been mostly Villa, I think, at least until they scored a goal and they sat back a little bit to, you know, because game state. And I was thinking to myself, Jorginho was probably going to be a good sub. I felt like Declan Rice, this was not one of his better games. I don't think he had a bad game, but he just wasn't really dominant, his dominant self. Felt like guys were wasting a lot of their energy on the pressing, and they weren't really, when they got the ball, they just didn't know what to do with it. And the most frustrating bit for me in that second half was when we did have the ball, it felt like we were not prioritizing the right thing. I feel as if the whole point of every team sport is to get the ball to your best players. The best player to me, no matter how much people want to praise other people on the team, and I don't say this to denigrate anybody else, the best player, the guy that makes shit shake at Arsenal, is Bukayo Saka. There were lots of times when we managed to get that ball off Villa in the second half, and the priority didn't seem to be get it to him. And I don't know if it's because of the way Villa set up, or I don't know what it was, but I just found it really frustrating. I was watching the game with my brother, and all I kept yelling was, get the ball to the best player. Get, you know, and it was like, we're giving the ball to whoever the fuck.
We were going down the left side a lot more in the second half. We were like, Martinelli was getting the ball, but he wasn't doing anything with the ball. And I was just like, why are we doing this? Just get the ball to Saka, and the rest of you get in the box. Like, you know, like, just get in the box. Like, the whole thing was just a mess. And I was just like, if you want your creatives to create, because I mean, we were, like we said, we weren't getting Odegaard on the ball a lot in the second half. So then obviously the next person is going to be Saka on the same side.
Right.
I genuinely don't understand what the game plan was. What did Arteta say to them in at halftime, where we just looked like we were devoid of ideas? Like, I couldn't tell you, genuinely.
Like, I wouldn't even say they look tired, but I think ultimately when a lot of your out of possession play is based on pressing and your press isn't doing what it usually does, I think that can become discouraging for players. It can become frustrating. You know, then all of a sudden you're not sprinting as hard anymore. You know, you're not making that extra run, you know, like you're running offside and not getting back on time for your teammate to get you the ball in a good position. You know, like, all those things creep in. And we saw all of that today. We saw all of it. But honestly, we talked to Zinchenko a little bit, and I still wouldn't blame him for anything that went wrong. But ultimately, I mean, Odegaard had a good first half. Saka had a good first half. But no one really stood out on our team, really. I mean, everyone played more early. Then we just sucked for the whole second half.
That second half reminded me such of, like, Arsenal of yesteryear, where they used to be like, you know, the teams of Ozil and Alexis, where, like, you're in the first half, you're like blaming teams, like, and you just don't score because Giroud. And then all of a sudden they hit you 2-0 or 1-0 or whatever. And then they look like they can't figure out what to do. And you're just like, can someone take the game by the scruff of the neck and figure out what the fuck you guys want to do? Like, figure it out. Just one person, just like direct traffic if you need to, because, like, I feel like everyone was trying to do everything and nothing was coming off. Like, right. It was just messy.
Yeah. Yeah. We need a messy. I don't think it's funny you mentioned that someone needed to take the scruff of the game by the neck. And the one guy that sort of gave off that energy today was Odegaard as the captain. And he went off. The first subs were Martinelli on for Trossard and Tomiyasu on for Declan Rice. I mean, for Ben White, sorry, who has played a billion games.
So the other white boy.
I think you didn't like that sub. Why was that?
I didn't like that sub because I thought, well, I will say I wanted to see Zinchenko off. So I was right. I know we're running Ben into the ground. I know. But like Ben is Ben and he's going to play regardless. Like he's going to play on Tuesday. He's going to play the next game. Let's be real. Like he is. I know he shouldn't, but he is. And I was just like, he's better. Like Ben is like very, unless he's like under the cosh, like the winger is running at him and twisting and turning him. I trust him to do his job. And I also trust him to pull something out of his ass, like offensively, like he can do that. It's just a fact. Like when in the first half, when he like gets into the box and then he like cuts the ball back and that guy slides past him, I was like, oh yeah, this might be a game for Ben today. But I didn't think once you took him off, I was like, Saka's side is going to suffer genuinely. Like I love Tommy. I do. But I was like, we need help on the other side.
Yeah, but to be fair, even before he went off, again, we weren't getting both Saka. We weren't really playing. And it was like, fuck it, we need to save
his life. You want to talk about logic? I am emotional. I can't complain.
Well, I would do this half and you can do that half. So I can understand the criticism of the sub, but I didn't mind it either because again, now that we fumbled this game, maybe the trophy we need to emphasize now that City are at the top of the league is the Champions League trophy and see how that goes. But yeah, I thought Jorginho could have come on sooner. I thought Zinchenko could have gone off sooner as well. If Jorginho was coming off, then we don't need Zinchenko. So those subs should have gone.
Those would have been my two first subs. Georgie should have came on first and with Tommy. Those would have been my two first subs. I know we needed Martinelli or we thought we needed Martinelli, but like, I think we needed Georgie and you can't play Georgie and Zinchenko together. So just take him off.
Like, and Martinelli, let's talk him a little bit. I think his frustrating games or his frustrating moments are all frustrating in the same way.
Like he
just has very one track mind. It's like, okay, yeah, you're quick, but you almost always run on the outside of people while you're exposing the ball.
What did you say earlier?
Excuse me?
What did you say earlier about Zinchenko? About him not being intelligent sometimes? That's Martinelli. Mm. That's genuinely Martinelli. Like, I love him, but he doesn't like, his football IQ is not as high as it needs to be at this level. Mm. And I'm just like, if you're doing the same thing over and over again and it's not working, try something different. Like, it's not every day kick and run past your man. Like, it's not going to work. I mean, try and combine, and then like when you pass the ball, then you move into the space. You know what I mean? Like he has a way. And I thought for sure at the beginning of the season it was more of a like Arteta like instruction thing, but I genuinely think it's a Martinelli thing now. Like sometimes I need him to just like give the ball up and then move into space because there is space behind the defender sometimes, and I feel like he doesn't run enough into that. Or he doesn't like, he always wants ball to feet.
Not every ball. Because he's not a ball to feet player.
He's not a ball to feet player.
He's get on the end of shit player. That's what he is. That's what he's always been. That's what he was when he showed up in that preseason. We're like, whoa, what's this little Brazilian motherfucker? But he's also 22. I think we often forget, like we look at Saka on the other wing and we go, wow, like this guy just keeps developing linearly. Not every young player develops that way. You know, I was just hoping that by now at age 22, that Martinelli would find more interesting ways to have an impact on many different kinds of games. And he came on today and it was exciting because Trossard wasn't really giving us anything at that stage of the game, but he didn't really do anything. And that's very frustrating. That's very, very frustrating. Like out, like cut in on a motherfucker and shoot one time, you know, like, you know, give the ball up and go get it back.
That's been his story for like all of this season though.
Yeah.
Like every game is a Martinelli game until he starts playing and then you're like, oh.
and we spent a lot of time blaming every motherfucker around him, like, oh well, Zinchenko isn't there, so he's not getting the ball. Kai Havertz doesn't pass him the ball. This, you know, it's like sometimes it's just the player, you know. It's just the player. Sometimes they're just not good enough at a particular time. That doesn't mean they're a bad player. It just means he needs to get better.
Jenny, I mean, like let's talk about some of the chances that Kai have. If it drops to Martinelli, we say all the time, Martinelli is one of our, if not our most clinical, like, players. He just is. He's one of our most clinical attackers. And he's clearly faster than Kai, obviously. But some of the runs that Kai makes, Martinelli does not make. He's not trying to get, like, he's not the one going in behind and, like, pulling a defender away so somebody else can move into the space. He's not doing that. And I'm just like, can we use your strengths in a just in a different way? Like, I need to get you off the touchline. Maybe we need to put you in the middle or something, because, like, this is not working.
I still believe that in the long run, he's not a winger.
In the long, I'm starting to believe you.
He can play there and he can do a job for the team. And, you know, we've definitely seen him in better form playing out wide than the form he's in this season. But I think ultimately he is a central striker. He's like somewhere between Luis Suarez and Sergio Aguero. I think that's the kind of player he is. He just has really good finishing instincts. He's very, he makes his decisions very quickly, even though they tend to be the wrong decision this season out wide. But he just has a lot of qualities that suggest that he's going to be a nine. He's good in the air. Like, he scored some incredible headers for Arsenal. Obviously, we're not giving up on Martinelli at all. But when you come off the bench, you're supposed to make an impact. And he did not make an impact today at all. Not really. He came on for Trossard. Tomiyasu came on for White. Then I think in the 79th, ESR came on for Odegaard. And Jorginho finally came on for Gabriel Jesus.
I'm going to be real. I was surprised that I saw ESR. I love ESR. Yeah. But I was like, does this not feel like a Fabio Vieira game? Like, somebody with the final pass to just get you over the line, you know? Like, I really would have loved to see Fabio in this game, genuinely. Because, like, there was – I know we were talking about the offside calls earlier. But, like, there was space to get at Villa. There was. We needed to stretch the pitch a bit more because we were definitely under the caution that second half. And I was just like – If Odegaard's legs are gone, like, he looks tired and lethargic and we're not doing the press, like, the chances that we do get when we get the ball back, the pass has to be perfect. And nobody was making the perfect pass. None of them.
I think that's a very prescient comment, Gabby. I wouldn't say I was thinking about it during the game. When Jorginho got up for a brief second, I thought it was Fabio when they showed them on the touchline, and I got excited. Then it wasn't him and I was like, that's fine. But ultimately, and in retrospect, again, hindsight is 20/20. Yeah, this felt like a game where Fabio Vieira might have been able to help us. Mainly because I just think, you know, in a game like this, you need as much ball striking as possible. I feel as like we got a free kick on the edge of the Villa box at one stage. I can't remember if it was in the first half or the second half. And I just remember thinking, like, we're not doing shit with this. If Fabio Vieira was on the field, I'd be a little more.
I think that was first half, like the 44th minute.
Okay, yeah, it was late in the first half. Okay, cool. But I just felt like, yeah, he probably would have been useful today. But I didn't mind seeing ESR either.
We don't have any free kick specialists. And I literally was watching that free kick and I was like, please surprise me and just give the ball to Jesus on the edge of the box there. Just do a tricky, like free kick and just give the ball to Jesus so he can run into the box. He was like literally apart from his defender. And I was like, if he gets the ball there, he can really get a shot off. And even if he crosses the ball, it's still like going like into the box in like a particular area. If Martinez doesn't come out, maybe that goes somewhere. And that's a lot of maybes, but I was like, yeah, don't shoot that. Because we both know you're not going to score that.
I was going to say that's a lot of maybes, mainly because Gabi Jesus was going to get that ball and cut in, then cut out, then cut in again. Then maybe something might happen.
You know? So he was going to take it.
You left that part out. You left that part out. So I have to bring that back to you real quick.
Listen, I'm just saying that that Netherlands free kick in the World Cup, I need to see some more people do that. Like, try to change something. I would like to see Arsenal do that. I mean, we're lauded for our, like, a free kick, like, set piece, like, nonsense all the time. So I'm like, show me something I haven't seen before. Just one time.
I just think it's fascinating that we have so many great technicians at the club right now, and no one is a certified free kick specialist. Like, you would think that with Trossard's ball striking that he would have some of that stardust on him. He doesn't really even argue about taking the free kick. Odegaard once scored a free kick away at Burnley when we're in those nice yellow jerseys that we wore two seasons ago now. And he's never come close to replicating that again. Declan Rice showed us really great ball striking this season. He has a bunch of assists because of it, but he doesn't take free kicks. Or free kicks, direct free kicks on goal. So that's frustrating. That's something we definitely need to work on. I don't know if it's something we need to resolve in the transfer window. I do think Fabio Vieira has the free kick gene in him. I think he can definitely put one away. He just needs to get on the field first, and that seems to be a ways away from us at the moment. Now we got to talk about some gross shit. The first goal we conceded. It was from this. It was, well, hey, it is what it is. This is the job we've taken on, Gabby. I don't know why we do this, but we do it. Villa, yet another Villa corner. The corner got swung in at the near post. We cleared it. Ball kind of bounced around a bit. Second phase of play, someone should have cut that cross out. It went across the defender that I was marking. It went across the Libby at the near post. It went across their player. It went across Raya and went all the way at the back post where Leon Bailey taps it in. And at that point, did you lose hope like the people in the stands at the Emirates?
I didn't lose hope that we could possibly score. But I figured, I said, like, we haven't gone down. I don't think we've been trailing since the start of the new year.
We
have not seen what this team looks like when they're trailing, genuinely. So I was like, this is going to be a new test for us, genuinely. I was like, I don't think we win this. I think we draw this, if anything.
Right. But
and then we conceded another
one. Yeah, but then we conceded another one because we had the ball on the left side of the field. Jorginho tries to play some ball. I don't really know what he was hoping to achieve there. But it didn't work out, and we had basically moved all our center backs forward. ESR was the deepest guy, from what I recall. One straight ball from Tielemans into Watkins. He basically walks it in. I didn't actually see the goal. My stream froze. That I just saw something.
So,
fuck.
I genuinely thought he was offside. No joke. I was like, I was waiting for the replay because I was like, there's no way he's onside, right? Right? Like,
because he was that, like, he was that open. Offside, right? He was so open, you thought he was offside.
That copio. I was like, he's got to be offside. And then when he was celebrating, like, he was looking at the refs and I was like, oh, he's onside. So let me see what this looks like. Genuinely, I don't know how ESR was the last one back. I know it was like from a corner or something, like from an attack where we were trying to score. But like ESR being the deepest and to having to track him, he did a pretty good job tracking him and like almost put in a good challenge. But like he just, Ollie Watkins is just a good finisher, especially this season. Like once he put that in, I was like, oh yeah, it's done. I don't even think we score now. Like it's just done. It's 2-0. That's it.
Yeah. At 2-0, I didn't really have any real hope for a recovery or remontada. I believe Eddie Nketiah came on pretty late, but if I'm being honest,
the better.
Yeah, that didn't really move anything. And he wasn't very, there were a couple moments in the box where it looked like he was gonna do something, but even in those moments, I really wasn't waiting for him to do something. If
I'm being honest with you. Like, listen, Eddie Nketiah, thank you for your service at the club, but it's time to speak West Ham, buddy. Like, I don't want to see you again next season.
So our next fixture is away at Bayern. I'm still fairly, this is not the way to prepare for that. Bayern won their game at home to Cologne, which had a ridiculous jersey clash. They won that 2-0. They lost Kingsley Coman in that game, who did not start the game at the Emirates. And they rested a bunch of their main guys. Musiala rested, Neuer rested. Can't remember who else, but I think like four guys are probably starting that game at the Allianz rested. This was not the right preparation for Arsenal going into that game, but how are you feeling going into our next game?
I don't want to be negative, but I'm going to be negative. I don't think that we win that game. I'm going to be real with you. Like I think we can score in that game. I don't think that we will win that game. I think the onus on the onus was for us to win at home. So then, like, even if we lose, like, then maybe we still go through. Or even if we draw, then we still go through. But I don't think we win that. I just, like, Arsenal have to show me that they can, like I said, that they can tackle adversity. Like, that you have to get a result. You know you have to get a result in their house against a European champion. And also, like, I know they're having a terrible season because Tuchel is a fraud, but like it's still Bayern. I know there's gonna be no fans in the stadium, but I don't want to hear that shit. You still have to go and do the business. Can you do it? They need to show me that.
Well,
I would love to be wrong, but I don't think I am.
I will give the glass half full opinion on this matter. I feel as if Arsenal, this version of Arsenal, is still a very good team. I think they are better than Bayern, despite the fact that Bayern has a lot of really good players that have won the Champions League already. And more importantly, I think we're actually a better team away from home than we are at home. I don't know what it is about the Emirates Stadium. We're just not as sharp to me. We're not as focused.
It's anxiety.
Yeah, mistakes creep into the game. It's like they feel like they need to like entertain the crowd or some shit, you know, like, or else they're going to leave early. I don't fucking know. But I like our chances away from home. And also, Bayern is a big team. The onus is on them. The same way it was on us to win at the Emirates, it's on them to win at the Allianz. And they're going to have to play a little bit. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll play terrible the whole time and we'll just go to penalties or some shit and they want to rely on Manuel Neuer.
God forbid. Please don't do the penalties bullshit with Neuer. I do not want to see that.
Absolutely I don't want to see that. Not. But I do think that Arsenal has a chance to really... And, you know, Alphonso Davies isn't playing. Mazraoui is going to come in for him.
Yeah, Mazraoui, Davies, and Gnabry and Koeman are all not playing.
Right. So I think there are a lot of factors in our favor. I mean, ultimately... I mean, this is me tapping early. I am pleased with what Arsenal has done. Having not been in the competition for 7 seasons, to come back, make it to the quarterfinals, put up a good showing against Bayern, because there was adversity in that game. We went down 2-1 to a team that were European champions not even 4 seasons ago.
And am I going? Bessard came off the bench and did the business.
And he scored a great goal.
I don't want to see him starting in this game either. Well, he needs to come off the bench.
You know what? Based on the way, because I feel as if a lot of Arsenal's sort of nervous play in the first game on Wednesday or Tuesday, rather, it's almost like an age thing, like just young people doing young shit. Like, oh, I've never been here before. Like, look at Leroy Sané, look at Thomas Müller, look at Harry Kane. Like, you're looking at all these, and you know that it kind of creeps in a little bit. And with older dudes, like someone like Trossard doesn't care. He doesn't even sleep. He don't give a fuck about no fucking Harry Kane. Like, you know. So for me, I would actually. Honestly, I would go with the same lineup against Bayern. Like the lineup we put out.
You would start Jesus too.
Yes.
Nine.
I think this lineup was selected with an eye towards Bayern. I think the only difference might be that Jorginho might come back in. And if he comes back in, then maybe Trossard goes to the bench and Jesus goes out wide. But I do think the biggest mistake from the first leg for me was that we didn't start Jesus. Because the Champions League is a competition. Say what you want about the jinky-majinky and not finishing.
This is true.
For some reason... He shows up in the Champions League. There's something about that tournament. Maybe it's more space because every team in the not every team, but the vast majority of teams that make the Champions League, they back themselves. They rate themselves. They've usually won the league in some country or they're like the second best team in some country. So they come to play. And when there's that space to play, Gabi Jesus shows up. So I would like the same lineup again. I think we can run it back and play better. And also add in the fact that we don't have to take the game to them. We can just kind of sit in the mid block and play some terrible.
Okay, so I have a question then.
Okay.
I have a question then. And if anyone's watching this, you can see my face. He said he wants the same lineup. Would you also play Zinchenko?
If it means not playing Kivior, yes.
I didn't think Kivior would start anyway. I thought it would be Tommy. But I'm thinking in my head, if Georgie comes back in, which I think he will.
Then Tommy should play.
Okay, like, we're on the same page. Because I was like, I don't want to see Zinchenko. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of time for lineups that have both of them. It's just too much. Like, niggas can't run, man.
Nonsense.
Like, I need niggas that can run in the team. That's where I'm at with it. So, fingers crossed that we actually cheer up after Wednesday when we go away to Bayern. Because today was fucking awful.
Please, like, God.
There's no two ways about it. Today was fucking awful. Big credits to Villa. I don't like to give Unai Emery credit because I don't care how often he beats Arsenal. I will never truly rate him as an elite manager. I don't fucking like that nigga. Like, he looked like that nigga from Mr. Deeds and shit. I don't like him. He looked like fucking Jesus from the Big Lebowski and shit, man. Fucking pederast. Anyway. anyway, our next Premier League game.
Fuck your evening. I don't care.
What's that?
I said, fuck your evening. I don't care. I hate him.
Yeah, there you go. Our next Premier League game will be away to Wolves. On 4/20. So hopefully our guys don't play like they're fucking stoned. But then again, it will be away, so they will be focused. And hopefully it won't be focused based on a hangover after the Bayern bullshit. Hopefully hopefully we're taking good energy from the Bayern game because we've advanced and we're going to go ahead and do some good shit to Wolves as well. We'll slaughter some Wolves.
I need them to energize themselves, like, because the Malinu can be like a cauldron sometimes and they need to just be professional and do the business. Be professional. We're not playing at home, so I don't want to hear that shit about anxiety. Just do your job. That's it. There should be, like, if you guys have already thought that if you crumbled the way you did last year and you already thought the league is gone, then that's fine. then just like win the rest of your games then. Because who cares? Then City will win the league anyway. Like, just do your fucking job. That's all I'm asking you to do.
I can't believe Liverpool fumbled and we fumbled right after them. I wonder if that had any effect on the way we played.
I fucking knew this was going to happen. Like, I knew it. And I hate when I'm right. Like, I was like, every time that we have a moment to capitalize on someone else dropping points, we fumble the bag. Like, if they had won and we had to win, I trust us to win. But not if they drop points. And for some reason, when we got to go ahead, Arsenal are like, damn, now's the time to slip up. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
I ain't gonna lie.
Listen, Granit Xhaka said it best, and he's a champion now. Shout out to my man. Shout out to my man, Granit Xhaka. Okay, I have a shirt in my closet with your name on it. Love that boy. I wish I could run to you right now. However, he said it best. If you are not ready for it, stay home. Stay on the bench. If you're not ready for it, if you're scared, stay at home. I don't want to hear that shit. We had the experience last year. We got the experience where we fucked up. Now is not the time to do that shit. I don't want to hear it.
Well, on that note, and with that very brutal pep talk from Gabby, I think we've done enough. Gabby, tell the people peace.
The evil that you have done in this world is never going to be enough. Unite, Emery. I hate you so much. Goodbye.
Peace, y'all.
Ha! I take my shirt off. Ha! Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my shirt. My plantation. My plantation. My plantation. Ah. Plantation. Plantation. Plantation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.